Good morning, brothers and sisters, Blog Talk Radio. I am Jonathan Tate. I was about to say Agent Tate. I've been working hard this week. Jonathan Tate, the assistant, one of the assistant pastors at Running for Christ Ministries. And right now we're getting ready to get off into 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. But before we do that, let us pray. Lord, we thank you for brand new day, brand new opportunities to hang out with you and live for you. Pray, Lord, that you will help us to walk through this word today at this designated time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'd like to thank Dr. June Rogers for what she did with 1 Thessalonians. And now we're going to get into the second letter that Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica. Looking at chapter 1, verse 1, greeting from Paul. It says, this letter is from Paul, Silas, and Timothy. We are writing to the church in Thessalonica, to you who belong to God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. So, again, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, they're sending a basic greeting to the church at Thessalonica and asking that God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give them grace and peace. And verses 1 and 2. As we move down, says encouragement during persecution. So we know from our study of the Bible that at this day and time, the church was being persecuted. This was after Jesus ascended into heaven. And, you know, basically, you know, people were coming after the church. You know, anybody that put claim to be members of the way or to be followers of Christ, they were being persecuted all around that region. So right now in verse 3 it says, dear brothers and sisters, we can't help but thank God for you because your faith is flourishing and your love for one another is growing. We proudly tell God's other churches about your endurance and faithfulness and all the persecutions and hardships you are suffering. So we see in verse, it says, we can't help thank God for you, our brothers and sisters, that your faith is flourishing and your love for one another is growing. As you look at that, you want people to be able to thank God for you because of the faith that you display no matter what you're facing or what you're going through. So many times we get distracted by things that are going on in our lives and we get sidetracked and we literally focus more on our issues than we do our God, our Christ, our Comforter. And as we do so, as we go through various things in life, especially when things aren't going right or things aren't going our way or we feel like we're being persecuted or we're in trouble or we're facing hardships, pain, irritation, sickness, we need only to be encouraged that, one, Christ went through a lot of the things that we go through, and he kept his eyes on the prize. He kept his focus on the mission, which was to do his will so that we can have a gospel to share and to live in and to focus on versus our problems or our issues. And the truth of the matter is most of us don't know what real persecution is. A lot of the problems that we face are usually because of our own doing and our own disobedience. So let's keep that in mind, that our faith is flourishing and that our love for one another is growing and that we focus on loving each other and, you know, exercising our faith. We don't have any reason not to. We have all the reasons to do so. And again, the word commands us to love one another. Amen. Amen. Verse 4 says, we proudly tell God's other churches about your endurance and faithfulness and all the persecutions and hardships you are suffering. And God will use this persecution to show his justice and to make you worthy of his kingdom for which you are suffering. You know, I come from a family where, you know, I've had members of my family that served in various branches of the military, from the Navy, the Marines, the Air Force, you name it. And you have to earn your stripes to get promotions in the military, which means you have to put in time and work and participate in trainings and obey orders and follow procedures and rules to do so. And as we go through, you know, various hardships and things of that nature, we are earning our stripes when we exercise our faith in the Lord and go through. You know, I like traded in the picture, it was a storm. And in the middle of the picture, there was a calming, relaxing scene, you know, and what she was demonstrating was calm in the midst of the storm. So that's how we should be as we earn our stripes, as we make we become worthy of God's kingdom, you know, because we are kingdom builders. We are tasked with, you know, making disciples for the Lord as his kingdom advances. That's our job, period. Followers of Christ, if you're a Christian, our job is to expand God's kingdom. And we have to, God, it says that verse 5, and God will use this persecution to show his justice and to make you worthy of his kingdom for which you are suffering. Again, let's be honest. At this point in time in the church of Thessalonica, they were being persecuted simply for what they believed in terms of the death, burial, resurrection of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Persecution for what we believe. We really don't. We usually don't face persecution for what we believe. We may have a debate here and there, but disagreement here and there. No persecution for real. What these people were facing was life or death situations simply for what they believed in. So it was that serious. So that's why Paul, Silas, and Timothy were our brothers and sisters at Thessalonica. So that's why it talks about showing his justice to make us worthy, make you worthy of his kingdom for which you are suffering. In his justice, he will pay back those who persecute you. So again, brothers and sisters, we need to understand that it's not our job to take revenge. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, period. Verse 6 says, in his justice, he will pay back those who persecute you. You don't have to get them told, put your hands on anybody. Again, you let the Lord take care of that. And again, let's be reminded for context that they were being persecuted simply for what they believed, because they believed in the Lord, the good news. So, you know, for us, our hardships and headaches and whatnot truly pale in comparison, for the most part, compared to what they were going through. for what they believe. Verse 7 says, and God will provide rest for you who are being persecuted for us when the Lord Jesus appears from heaven. So we get our rest in him. It's all wrapped up in him. But Paul is saying here, and God will provide rest for you who are being persecuted, and also for us when the Lord Jesus appears from heaven. So when people go on home to be with the Lord, when people are going through any and everything, you know, the word talks about, you know, taking the Lord's yoke upon us and finding rest in him, because his burden is easy and light. So we have rest physically, spiritually, mentally, all wrapped up in the Lord. And then this last part, when the Lord Jesus appears from heaven, because again, at this point, he had already gone back to heaven, but Paul's talking about right here in this passage, when he comes back, when he appears from heaven, when he returns to get his brothers and sisters. And then it says, he will come with his mighty angels at that end of that verse 7. He will come with his mighty angels. Again, we know, and we talked about this last week in at church, at Running for Christ, that God's angels are our messengers, and they're also soldiers and guardians. So when he comes back, he's coming back, it says his mighty angels. You know, they're not coming back to play. They're coming back to execute justice. And in verse 8, it says, the flaming fire bringing judgment on those who don't know God and on those who refuse to obey the good news of our Lord Jesus. So this is for those, you know, when I think of no and look at it right here and there, knowing God is having an intimate relationship with God. We know the good news to be the gospel, the death, burial, resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, you know, Paul right here is speaking in this passage, talking about things that are to come. Like, don't worry about what you're going through or who's, you know, bothering you or whatever the case may be. Don't worry about that. Don't lose, you know, sight of the main thing. The main thing is the Lord is going to take care of all of those who are persecuting you. The Lord is going to take care of those, who don't know him and who refuse to obey the good news or even acknowledge the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is basically those who don't believe. And it's our job that we work to reduce that number as the church, as God's sons and daughters. Amen? Amen. Verse 9 says, they will be punished with eternal destruction, forever separated from the Lord and from his glorious power. Again, he goes on to say, not only will the Lord bring judgment, but they will be punished with eternal destruction, forever separated from the Lord and from his glorious power, which basically is hell. So, and again, it's eternal. Eternal destruction. If that's not enough to motivate you to tell someone about Jesus and to share the good news with strangers, I really don't know what is. You know, yes, I could go into, you know, how we woke up this morning, the Lord woke us up, and the Lord has healed us from past sickness and pain and injury, and how he fixed problems that we didn't see a way out of, and how the Lord has just blessed us continuously. I can go off into that, which technically I just did, but the fact that it should be our will, just like the Father's, that none should perish, but that everyone have eternal life, not eternal destruction. Verse 10 says, when he comes on that day, he will receive glory from his holy people, praise from all who believe, and this includes you, for you believe what we told you about him. Pretty much self-explanatory. God's holy, sanctified people, those who have been set apart for him and for his service, will obviously praise the Lord and glorify him for the simple fact that he saved us and that we believe what we've been told. Because somebody, and for me and my family, you know, I come from a Bible-based family, so for us, it's been a way of life. You get saved, you know, as a child, which most of us have, but family of preachers and teachers, you know, I could receive it because I've been hearing it pretty much my whole life and been surrounded by it. So for me, it was easy to believe because I saw people walking it out in front of me. No, not perfect, but faith. Amen. Amen. Verse 11 says, so we keep on praying for you, asking our God to enable you to live a life worthy of his call. May he give you the power to accomplish all the good things. The Lord will do so. Our will and our ways have to be more like his and wrapped up in him. And he will instruct you. He will give you the power to accomplish all the good things that your faith prompts you to do. So when you believe and you exercise that belief in him, you walk it out, and he will continue to give you power and encourage you and inspire you and guide you as you do so. Now, he's not going to guide you in foolishness because he's not involved in that. He's involved in holiness. He wants you to exercise your faith. Amen? And verse 12 says, then the name of our Lord Jesus will be honored because of the way you live, and you will be honored along with him. This is all made possible because of the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. What an awesome thing. I got to read that again. Sometimes I read things and it just feels great. And that was one of the verse 12. It says, then the name of our Lord Jesus will be honored because of the way you live. And you will be honored along with him. This is all made possible because of the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. We will be honored because of the way we live, that first part. Don't you want to be honored by the way you live? Do you want to be ashamed or embarrassed of the way you live? I know we all have certain parts and pieces of our lives that are embarrassing, that we try to hide from the Lord. But, you know, we should aspire and be inspired and continue to work towards being honored by the way we live. But the Lord will constantly enable us to do so, but we have to do it his way, according to his will, his word. And then it says, and you will be honored along with him. Again, we're joint heirs with Christ. So we get the hook up because he has the hook up. We are sons and daughters of the one living true God because of what our elder brother Jesus did for us, our big brother. That's an awesome blessing that we will be honored with him because of what he did for us. And then it says, this is all made possible, again, because of the grace of our God and Lord, Jesus Christ. It's right there in front of us, brothers and sisters. I honestly can't believe that we went through chapter 1 so quickly. So next week, we will start at chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your encouragement. We thank you for allowing us to exercise our faith. No matter what we're going through, help us to realize we have the calm. We have the comfort in the form of the Holy Spirit inside of us, no matter what's going on. And we can tap into that power at any given moment. Thank you for this day. We thank you for the platform of Blog Talk Radio. We thank you for each and every one that's listening and that wanted to listen and that will join us at this time. We say thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
What a good deal. Thank you, Jonathan, Pastor Jonathan. Good lesson.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
It was so much. I wasn't able to write a lot down this morning, but just knowing the good news about Jesus and having an intimate relationship with God, and, you know, just like you were saying, your family was just raised up in the church and God's word, and that's just a good thing because, you know, it gives the whole family, you know, direction and the way to go, and that's a great thing.
Thank you
for that awesome lesson, Thessalonian. Can't wait to hear more. You know, we always we know we always appreciate you, and have a great day.
You do the same. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Good lesson. Get your coffee, your cookies, your crumpets. And after this next selection, we will begin our service. See you on the other side of this song. You know?
The outpouring of your spirit, till I can't take no more. I need you, Lord, right now. Fill me up again. Cannot move on without you. Do like you did way back when. I need you, Lord, right now. Fill me up again. Fill me up again. Lately I've been to be everything that you want me to be. I'm here, pour out your love.
Fill me up again, Lord. Need you. All right. Amen. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world, to Running for Christ Ministries Saturday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience, brought to you by Running for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with scripture and prayer, and at Running for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital, and the Word tells us so. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. And guess what? We want to acknowledge our youth all over the world. You know, we need you, and you are important to us, because today is Youth Saturday, and on the 4th and 5th Saturday of each month, we encourage and give the youth the opportunity to serve and to participate in our morning worship service. And you know, we have this morning, to help us do so, is our very own Queen Nedra Gaston. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, good morning. A little ray of sunshine voice, Queen Nedra Gaston. How are you this morning?
I am doing well.
Well, great. And I want to say happy birthday to you as well.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for being with us. Take it away, young lady.
Good morning, Blog Talk listeners. Running for Christ Ministries is celebrating its 19th year church anniversary. Congratulations, Pastor and First Lady overall. I am Nedra Gaston, and I will be, and today I will be reading Colossians 1, verses 15 through 23. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the kings we can see. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme, overall, who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. For God, in all his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ, and through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. May the Lord add the blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great word. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity to once again offer up to you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. We ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will take part in this worship service. We ask that you hear and answer the prayers of faith that are lifted to you by your people and in this service. Lord, we ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We ask that Jesus Christ be lifted in the songs, prayers, and preached word so that all those who are lost will be found. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask these blessings. Amen.
Amen, amen. Train up a child, and that is some good training. Thank you, Queen Nedra. Just thank you for being excited about God this morning. You're very excited. Appreciate that, okay? We appreciate you, and have the best day ever.
You too. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right, that is Queen Nedra Gaston. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Honestly, I hate my job, but I work hard, 'cause I need the money. So tired of this race, but I can't stop, so I keep on running. If my family knew just how close I was to quitting, they wouldn't believe it. I think I still have a mustard seed of faith in my dreams. I believe I still can achieve it. It's so heavy, but I smile to keep from crying. When people ask me how I'm doing, I say fine, but I just be lying. I'm trying, but I'm getting weak, and my hope is running on me. I'm praying my to sleep. Dear God, can you rescue me? Maybe I'm right or I'm wrong, but you said that you'll never leave me alone. No disrespect, Lord, please pardon my tone. I need your help. I can't do this without you. My knowledge, thought I was ready, 'cause I went to college. Mama said pray, but I thought that was petty. Then it got real and yo, I wasn't ready. Trying to supply all my demands, leaning on the things I understand, totally ignoring the commands. Father, I repent and I'ma put it all in your hands. For real now,
you try to live a Christian life by yourself, you probably said no. But let me ask you a question. Do you go to Bible class? Ooh, probably not. Well, what about church school? Ooh, probably not. Well, What about Bible at home? Do you open your Bible and read it at home so the Holy Spirit can talk to you one-on-one? Oh, not that either. Then you're probably living the Christian life by yourself. And you can't do this thing by yourself, because when you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, guess what? Satan said, oh, so we ain't friends no more. It's like that, huh? Okay, we enemies now. I'm finna go get permission slips from God like I did against Job, and I'm coming at you. Since we ain't friends no more, you're on Jesus' side. Brothers and sisters, we can't live this life without Jesus, and we need him. Somebody say, Lord, stop by here. Come by here. Amen. That's all you got to say is come by here. You have to see Jesus as a gentleman. He's not going to be busting all up in your house. If you want Jesus to come, guess what? He's the one standing at the door knocking. He's that kind of a gentleman, right? He ain't going to just bum rush your house. What you have to do is open the door. See, a whole lot of us, we heard Jesus knocking. We say, who is that? You say, Jesus. And we say, oh, Jesus. And we open the door. But we ain't let him come in the house. We got stuff in there Jesus might not agree with. What am I talking about? Your life. It's parts of your life you need to invite Jesus into. Quit, you know, I ain't had much good stuff, so I invited Jesus into all my crapped out stuff. And guess what? He come in there and picked up a hammer and some nails and saws and wood and stuff, started fixing my life up. I'm like, go ahead, Jesus, do what you do. Philippians 1:6 agrees with what I just said. He working on us and going to keep working on us till we get to heaven. Ain't that good news? What am I trying to tell you? Your life will really brighten up. Hey, wait a minute. Let me say something, Crystal. Do not jump up off the bed or the couch and start dancing around your house. You just rest and relax and listen. Amen. That's what you do today. But anyway, life gets better when you spend it with Jesus.
Oh, I like to use my brain for you and use it to write songs for you. You're getting all of the best of me, cause I'm giving all of the best of me. Oh, love, my heart's only built for two. You won't wear me up cause I'm the perfect shoe. You're getting all of the best of me, cause I'm giving all of my best. I don't need words, and I don't need songs, but I choose to give them. My light shines red when it shines for you. Whoa, I ain't blowing smoke. No, this ain't how I am, it's how I choose to love you. Light shines red when it shines for two. Turn on the truth in me. You light up my heart with possibility. I'm getting everything I need, cause you're giving everything to me. You are forever in my destiny, woven into it like a tapestry. Your love is everything to me, cause you're giving everything I need.
I don't need
work better. You know, it's amazing. I lived down from the school where I first sought the Lord, where I first literally asked God to reveal himself to me. And of course he didn't. And then I became a angry atheist. And it's amazing how I end up living down the street from where I sought the Lord. He got big time jokes, y'all. You know what, though? When the Lord found me, you know, I was a complete utter mess of a man. I didn't have idea where I came from, no idea what I was doing here, so I was doing all kind of crazy things, and didn't know where I was going when I left here, and that scared the crap out of me, amen, because I knew I was here, And I knew, like, one of my friends told me, this is a dream. I'm like, so really, really? I wish you'd dream a better dream for my life. But anyway, I didn't know where I was. But then I got saved, right? And then Jesus and I, we became friends. And I knew we was friends. Why? Because he was always telling me the truth about my life. And it wasn't right. But he was fixing me. He wasn't hating on me. He said, hey, you fix that. Look at this, see this blessing over here? And I looked over there, I said, yeah, that's what I've been wanting. He said, well, you fix that, that's right there. But that, for instance, let me give you an example. Abraham took his son up on that hill, right? We all know about that. Put him on the wood, right? We all know about that. Raised up the knife, got ready to stab him, right? Kill him, sacrifice him to God, right? Because God told him to. Don't take your kids and sacrifice them. Talking about Jesus told me to. But anyway, guess what? He would have never seen the ram in the bush if he didn't raise the knife to sacrifice his son, give his all to God. The ram was right there all the time. But how he needed, what he needed to do to get that ram was do what God said. I'm just trying to tell y'all, we need to pray to God about some different things. Forget the houses, cars, and clothes and all that other stuff. Pray for the Lord to change you. Change me. Change us.
Do this sin no more, no other way. Said I was done, but again I'm down in my mess. It's the flesh I have chosen. But I need you to change me and rearrange me. I can't do it by myself, no. I need you to change me, yeah, and rearrange me, 'cause I can't do it by myself. Grace, and you said that it is sufficient, and I took advantage, yeah. I've read your word, and you said to flee from temptation, but I ran right.
to change me and rearrange me, 'cause I can't do it by myself, no. I really need your help, Jesus. Oh, I need you to change me and rearrange me. I can't do it by myself, no.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. You, as always, you took us there, and we just thank you for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged. Awesome. Which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own Queen Alexandria Maynor, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Alexandria Maynor. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
Don't need to worry.
Trouble will be over. whatever you're going through. Something right now. Don't know which way to turn. Yeah, sleepless nights, crying all night long. Yeah, whatever it is, hey, you fix it.
Okay, it's time for altar call.
Hello.
Hey, Alex, how you doing?
Hi.
Okay, we're all set. Take it away.
Okay. Thank you, Father God in heaven. We come to you thanking you for this day. Thank you for waking us up and keeping us safe. Thank you for meeting all our needs. Also, thank you for all you do for us. Lord, we know we are not perfect, and we need your forgiveness. Please forgive us of every sin we have committed. Father God, we ask for our direction in our lives. We ask for a sound mind so that we have a clear vision for what you want us to do. God, you know your word frontwards and backwards, so you know what you mean in Proverbs 22:6, which says, start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Thank you, Lord, for telling this to the grown-ups. We pray that they will obey you, because if they do this, it will give them a solid foundation. God, you also know that in Romans 10:17, says faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Father, we need to hear and learn your word. We thank you for our good biblical teachers who preach messages about Christ so that we can be faithful followers. Although we are young, we know that we need to be able to reach others through the message of your word. So please help us, Lord. Oh, Lord, as recorded in Acts 8:31, the Ethiopian asked how we could understand your word unless someone explains it to him. So he invited Philip to sit with him, and he learned. We see that in story just how important it is for us to listen to our parents. We also need to watch the example they set. So we pray for adults now, Lord God. Father God, please bless the leaders so that they make the right decisions concerning our education safety as we return to school all over the world. Let them be mindful of warning about mistreating children. You said in Matthew 18:6, if anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in you, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Lord, we pray that this will not be necessary, and that the adults will just do what you tell them to. Lord, hears our prayers. And Lord, we know above all, you could protect us, whether we are at home, school, on the bus, or even walking here and there. You are everywhere, and we are grateful. Please wrap your arms of love around us. Thank you, Lord. Even though we are in youth, with you by our side, we can change the world in the way you intended it to be. Lord, we love you. We praise you with all of our heart and soul. We lift you up and magnify your name, and our hearts are filled with praise. Lord, in all our ways, we acknowledge you. In Jesus' name, we are so grateful. Amen.
Oh, and pour your spirit.
to come arrest our hearts, to come into our lives. We want more of your presence, more of your spirit, more of your love and your mercy.
Praying and making our request known to God, taking us to the altar. We appreciate you, you know, for your willingness, and just thank you and have the best day ever. Okay? All right. I am truly enjoying the service, and I hope you are too. With more to come, I want to just first say thank you to the youth serving today and the youth all over the world. You know, we appreciate you, and we need you. We need you to survive. Okay, that's for the youth. Thank you. And then I want to say congratulations to Runner for Christ Ministry, celebrating 19 years in his service, doing a great work for the Lord. Amen. Congratulations, Runner for Christ Ministry family. All right, and just thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Share the love, the joy, and the blessing. Amen? All right. Excited. Time for the preach word. A message from God. The best part, icing on the cake. The next voice you will hear following this song selection is a faithful man of God, Brother Elder Joseph Stevens. Prepare to receive Elder Joseph Stevens' come in his own way with the word from the Lord. Amen.
Okay, time for the priest's word.
Amen. Pastor, could you play that song you played just before that one? One more time, please.
Okay. Let's see. That must have been the altar call song.
We need you. Okay. The Holy Spirit. Play that one more time, please.
Okay, I sure will. One second. Let me pull that up. Let me get to it. Let me get to it. Let me get to it. Okay, here we go.
Holy Spirit, we welcome you into our lives and into our hearts. We need you. Almighty God, we need you right now. Reveal your glory, and pour your Spirit out. Almighty God, we need you right now. Reveal.
Oh, how we need you.
Okay, I think we're having some technical difficulties.
I'm sorry, I forgot to unmute.
Okay.
I was all the way up to my prayer, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Pastor O, Sister Sheila, Running for Christ Ministries Radio Blog Talk. Once again, we thank God for another privilege and opportunity to preach his word. We pray, Father God, for your glory to fall on each one of us. Father God, we pray that your Holy Spirit will arrest us. But Father God, we pray even more that we will allow ourselves to be what you would have us to be in your purpose, in your will at this time. Father God, we pray that our lives will be glory, bring glory to your word. Our lives will help others to want to be saved. Our lives will be that which you want it to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Father God, we just thank you. Pastor, you just don't know. I'm dropping off one grandchild at Pepper Road for baseball practice. I had to drop off the little three-year-old because she decided she wasn't going to be quiet because her tablet was going in and out. So I'm like, let me drop her off with my mother-in-law because I know I ain't going to be able to preach with her in the car. But, you know, I was reading on YouVerse my daily readings, and one of the things popped up, and that's why I had you play that song again. It says, the Holy Spirit, we don't receive him to experience more of Christ, but actually so that we would represent Christ more. The Holy Spirit, we don't receive him to experience more of Christ, but actually so that we would represent Christ more. And some of the words of that song, Almighty God, we need you right now. Reveal your glory. Have your way. Have your way in our lives. We need you. We need you, Lord. Let your glory fall. For God to have his way in our lives and the lives of others that he sends to us to help teach his word, others to witness. He can have his way. The problem is we don't allow him to have his way. We just celebrated Jesus' arrest, the rigged trial, a fixed trial, his crucifixion, death, burial, and God's miraculous resurrection of Jesus. Jesus had washed the feet of his disciples, told them that the one that would be the greatest would be the one that was the servant. They didn't even realize he knew they was arguing about who was the greatest along the way before the Last Supper. Jesus told Judas, that which you do, do it quickly. Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. And he took Peter, James, and John even deeper into the garden and told them to stay awake while he prayed. How many know they didn't stay awake? Jesus, in anguish and deep prayer, sweated drops of blood. Can you imagine sweating drops of blood? I have sweated heavily at different times playing sports, doing work outside in the heat and different other things, but I have never sweated drops of blood. But he came to that powerful statement, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. All must submit to God and say, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will, O Lord God, be done. The disciples had lost their hope after Jesus' death. They were hiding for fear of the Jews. They forgot that Jesus said, Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. They forgot he said, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They forgot, go and baptize all nations in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. They forgot that they even heard the seven last words, those words that show God's love, courted to give us hope today. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Yes, we all need forgiveness of our sins, first and foremost. We also need to be forgiven for doing things our way versus the plan of God or the purpose of God. It is finished. Powerful words from Jesus. Yes, God's salvation plan was finished. God the Father had fulfilled his promise. Jesus had suffered and died. Salvation was free to all that believe. But you know, I believe too many of us, when we hear the words, it is finished, think we don't have anything to do. There's no purpose or plan for us in the body of a Christ for the salvation of mankind. My subject today, it is finished for Jesus. It is just beginning for us. It is finished for Jesus. It's just beginning for us. It is finished. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you, Jesus said. Jesus told his disciples many things that would happen to him. They simply did not understand. They were waiting for deliverance from the Roman government instead of a dying king on the cross that would save all of mankind. Mary Magdalene, who had been forgiven much, went to prepare the body of Jesus. The stone had been rolled away. Jesus was not there. Mary went to tell the disciples Jesus was missing. And this was at a day and time when the woman's word was not thought much of. Some people still don't think much of women's words today, but I feel sorry for them. And 9 says, they still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Really, they didn't understand that Jesus had to die even before he had to rise from the dead. Mary stayed at the tomb. Two angels asked her, why was she crying? They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where he is. Mary turned and thought that the man behind her was a gardener. Oh, but it was Jesus. She did not recognize him until Jesus called her name. Let me ask you a question. Do I recognize when Jesus is calling us? Jesus knew the disciples had lost their hope, and he had to revive their hope and remind them of what they were taught. Jesus appeared for 40 days to the different disciples. 20:18 and 21 says, Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. On the evening of the first day of the week, verse 19, when the disciples were together with the doors locked in fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Verse 20, after he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. 21, and again Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. NIV. This word was given over 2,000 years ago. And let me say, the church, the body of Christ, has not been faithful to the mission and the word that Jesus said. John 20:22-23 says, and with that he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. after 3 years of teaching, after the many appearances of Jesus to the disciples, they still did not get it. It didn't happen the way they thought, so they missed God. Many times today, things don't happen or go the way we think, and we miss God. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Yes, Jesus challenged Thomas a week later about his doubt, because he wasn't there the first time Jesus came to the disciples. And he said, unless I see and can put my hand there, I won't believe. And Jesus challenged him and said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. John 20:30-31 says, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have his name. Don't we want others to be saved? Don't we want others to receive what we have received since we came into salvation through grace by our belief and faith in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection? Don't we want others to receive what we've received? Didn't Jesus tell us to go and make disciples? That wasn't a suggestion. That was a command. But even then, back then, Simon, after Jesus had appeared to him, after he had told him all that Jesus had received him back, he went to fishing, back to fishing. Some are leaders. Others are followers. We need to make sure we're leading and or following God today in his way and not ours. Peter went back to fishing. Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee and two other disciples were all together. That night they caught nothing. Friends, Jesus said, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. Jesus had told them at the start of his ministry, he would make them fishers of men. Another place in scripture says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Jesus went on to tell them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. Come and have breakfast. They knew it was Jesus. And then he went on to get Peter, Simon, son of John, or son of Jonas, in some script verses, translations, do you truly love me more than thee? Yes, Lord, he said. Jesus said, feed my lamb. Simon, son of John, Jonas, do you truly love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time, he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Jesus went on to tell Peter how he would die to the glory of God. Then he said to him, follow me. Jesus could ask us. We talk about Peter. Yes, he asked. We know that Peter denied Jesus three times. We know that Jesus asked him, did he love him three times? And he wasn't talking about filial love or Ariel's love, he was talking about agape love. He could ask us sometimes more than three times. But he said an important thing to Peter, follow me. And Peter, falling back into his flesh, wondered what would happen to John. John 21:21-23 says, Jesus, 22-23 says, Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? And then he said, you must follow me. Because of this, the rumor spread among the brothers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? This and many other issues in the body of Christ caused Jesus to pray for us. And he said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Father, I gave them the words you gave me. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. The same glory you gave me, I gave them, so they'll be as unified and together as we are. Are we unified and together like God the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit were? I don't think so. Acts 1:68, Lord, are you at this time, after all the appearances, during the 40-day period. Look at what they ask him. Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the time or date the Father has set by his own authority. It's not for us to know everything. But it is for us to step out on faith on what we have learned, what God has said to do his will. God will hold us responsible for what he wants us to do because he's already equipped you and me to do it. Verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, Jesus had told them to go, be still. They were in prayer. They were in an upper room. Because even before he stepped off, and the angels told the disciples, just as you've seen him leave, he will return. And then he tells them, but you receive the power from the Holy Spirit which comes on you. And then that day on Pentecost, 10 days later, which was 50 days after Jesus' death, Acts 2:1-4 says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them, NIV. And you know, Satan even tried to mock that and mess that up, saying that the men were drunk. But Peter, now full of the Holy Ghost, in Acts 2:14-19, gives a powerful testimony and word. Then verse 14, then Peter stood up with 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Verse 17, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. 18, even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. 3,000 souls will save that day because of the boldness and preaching of Peter about Jesus. Church, it's time that we all stand up and do what Jesus would have us to do. Collectively, as the body of Christ, individually, as a believer of Christ, prayerfully led by the Holy Spirit. Yes, Jesus said, it is finished, regarding God's plan of redemption. But let me say, it's not finished. It's not over until God says it's over for you and me to be about his will, his purpose, and his plan. Church, we will never finish until our death or the rapture. We have the gospel, the epistles, and the Holy Spirit. And I can hear Jesus saying, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Are you ready to go and make disciples? Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Ooh, wow. That was that was loud. Amen. Preacher, are you ready to go and make disciples? That is the word. I know you was probably expecting Crystal, but I got the duty today. Amen. Thank you, preacher.
Amen.
Can you hold
bless
on
you
for a while?
Yes, sir.
All righty. Amen. Amen. Are we ready to go? That's the bottom line. Jesus has gotten up. You know, we have to do, in my book, Jesus Christ from his birth to his ascension, I studied with a man named a scientist. He's a computer imaging scientist, you know, PhD. His name is Ray Downing. And what he did, he talked about something, that, and it really amazed me because I was guilty too. What Pastor Stevens just went through was what he went through, what he took me through. You don't hear a lot of preachers talk about those 40 days after Jesus rose. You'd think we would talk about it regularly, but we don't. And so he took me through those last six appearances to Jesus, to his disciples. Now, Jesus made 12 appearances after his resurrection between the Gospels and the book of Acts, okay? But we're talking about the six appearances he made to his disciples, culminating with what Pastor Stevens just talked about. Amen. Are you ready? Amen. Filled with the Holy Spirit. You have the power because Jesus said you'll have the power after the Holy Spirit come on you. And you're going, you've heard Crystal talk about it. Amen. We are witnesses for Jesus Christ. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. Have you been there? Are you going there? Amen. Are you ready to tell somebody about Jesus? Are you ready to teach somebody who's accepted Jesus how to live for him? Are you ready to demonstrate, advertise, and display Jesus by helping people in and outside the body of Christ? So I probably shouldn't listen to these preachers because I get all twisted up, turned up. and get ready to preach, but the preacher just finished preaching, and he preached it. Praise God. Amen. I thank the Lord. I can tell when the Lord did it, when the Lord is just feeding the preacher, and the preacher's like, Jesus, because I ain't even had nothing. Thank you, Jesus. But anyway, I love that. I love that. I love it. And it is so appropriate to hear that message on the Saturday after Jesus rose. So we can go forward. Plus, he was all in my message for tomorrow. So we can go forward. I'm glad he stopped there at the power and the witness. Amen. Or he'd have preached my old sermon. But anyway, are you ready to go forward? Amen. Let me do these announcements. I'm telling you, I'm turned up. I'm turned up. I love hearing the word of God preached correctly. And I love hearing it preached with boldness. I love hearing it preached like you believe it and not, skeptically or in fear or whatever. Amen. I love that. But anyway, here are the announcements. Sunday, April 24th, 2022. Happy 19th anniversary, Running for Christ Ministries. We will continue to celebrate our anniversary for the entire month of April, tomorrow being the last day of celebration. And we'll have our in-person worship service as usual at 10 a.m. with the praise team leading us in song and in worship. We'll hear the preached word by yours truly, Pastor O. The church that Jesus built is what I will be continuing to talk about, and I'm going to pick right up where Pastor Stevens left off. Ain't that amazing? Amen. That's some awesome stuff. The Holy Spirit be working stuff out. That makes me happy because I know he's involved. Amen. Also, the pre-services now, the recorded services are not really available until 12:30 a.m. That's 12 midnight. Amen. because we can only have one service in a day. And we also have Bring Back the Family every Sunday at 4 o'clock. So you'll get the recorded service 12:30 a.m. Monday. That's not p.m., but in the middle of the night, it comes out all by itself. Amen. Then you can have that. Now, every Sunday at 4 o'clock, our very own Deaconess Kathy Clyburn, the presiding person, amen, will be on Blog Talk Radio with her show entitled Bring Back the Family. God is making a desperate attempt, last attempt, to reach out to the restoration of families. Whatever situation or circumstance they are currently in, he want to build them up and go forward from there, and he's using Bring Back the Family to do that. So don't forget to tune in and give her your support at 4 o'clock. For more information, you can visit our church website, click on Christian Resources and Bring Back the Family. Just click on that and you can get all the information you need. Or you can go to bbtfus.com, bbtfus.com, amen, and get all the information you need right there. Every Wednesday at 6 p.m., we'll hold our Bible reading class. Deacon Eric Reed will be teaching from the book of Psalms, chapters 131 through 136. Questions are available online at rfcm.org. Just click on the Bible classes. Or if in person church, they'll be on the back table every Sunday. So just come to the back table. You should come to the back table anyway. All kinds of stuff. Avetrius have things on there for jobs. There are coupons for discounts on stuff you buy every day. There's all kinds of helpful stuff on that back table. Go see the back table. Amen. Praise the Lord. Every Saturday, Bondage Breaker Ministries will hold their Ladies Bible class from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. For more information, click on Christian Resources at rfcm.org. Amen. And all the information you need, just click Bondage Breakers, and all the information you need to find out about this class, amen, is right there. Now, if you'd like to pay your tithes or offerings, please visit our church website at rfcm.org and click on Tithes and Offerings. If you'd like to give the preacher that preached today, Elder Joseph Stevens, please remember to specify his name when you give your offering, and we'll see to it that he receives it. The Lord Jesus will bless you in advance for your kindness in sharing with us and them. Prayers go out to Deaconess Crystal Crump as she is at home and is recovering from knee surgery. That's why I told her don't get up and dance. I know she liked that song, and she'd be dancing all over it. So, oh, I broke my knee again. It's past old fault. That ain't my fault. Amen. You just lay and listen. Relax. And Mother Irma Miller, keep her in prayer. She is back in the hospital, and we want to thank God for what he has done with Jarius Freeman, brought him home. But we're still holding him up in prayer so that God will make a move, make things happen, and he can receive a kidney, and amen, everything will be all right. Don't forget to pray for the father of our church, Deacon Brother Tyrone Hamilton. Amen. And prayers for all the mothers on the move, Mother Cheryl, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia. Amen. Don't forget to pray for them. And again, keep Mother Irma Miller at the top of your prayers, so that she can walk back in church and give her testimony standing on her own two feet. Pray for all the bereaved families everywhere. Pray for our world, our leaders, and especially Ukraine and all the people that live in that country that are fleeing for their lives. Pray for our president and all the leaders of this country that they are guided and led in the right direction by this country. Amen. Birthday celebrations. Queen Nedra, the one you heard do scripture and prayer, opening scripture and prayer, that was Queen Nedra Gaston, and it's her birthday this month. And Minister Janine Folk celebrated this month. So we wish both of them a very happy and blessed celebration, and may God give them many, many more years in this life. Amen. Okay, now visit our website for the sermon schedule. A lot of you, things are different now. We have more preachers, and so there's a rotation instead of a certain Sunday. With who's preaching next Saturday, all you have to do is go to our church website, and even for Sunday, the schedule is on our church website. Let's see, where do I have that? Under worship services. Just go under worship services, and it'll give you the schedule. You'll know who's coming up to preach and when. Okay, I want to especially thank Kathy, the presiding person, for always getting together these folks to come on here, the young people today, to do their thing. I want to thank Pastor Jonathan Tate for his excellent teaching in 2 Thessalonians. That's an awesome book. Talks about, amen, the end times and how we should behave until the end times happen. That's some good news. And again, Nedra and Alex for that altar call. I want to preach Alexandria Maynard. Amen. That's my niece. Thank God for her and for Nedra for volunteering. And, of course, the preacher of the hour who we're getting ready to bring back right now. And he's going to give us some closing words. And then we're going to do a benediction. And then we can get on with the Saturday and the honeydews. Okay. Okay, I got a text, but I can't read it right now because my phone hooked up. Okay.
Oh, Lord.
No. I know, it's my monitor.
You know,
and if I cut it off right now,
no.
You know what I mean, then I can't get back in because you know, that's the way Blog Talk works. So I, it's something I'm supposed to be saying, but I don't know because I can't see it. Uh-oh, now I got another one. Oh, yeah, and the anniversary continues tomorrow. Of course, tomorrow is going to be the last day of the celebration. We've been celebrating the whole month of April, and we're talking about the church that Jesus built. And every church you see on every corner ain't one Jesus built. Somebody built it, but not Jesus. Amen. You can tell if Jesus built the church. The Lord just told me to read this, and I completely forgot. So thanks for that text. Amen. This is Running for Christ Ministries. We call Running for Christ Ministries a Bible-based church, and this is why we call it that. This is how you know if you're in a Bible-based church or not, or if you're in a personality-driven church. If the church is all about the pastor, 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 the pastor, the pastor, the pastor, the pastor, that is not a Bible-based church. That is a personality-driven church. And what you'll see when that person passes away and go to heaven, that church would fall apart. Why? Because it was not built on Jesus. It was built on the pastor. So when the pastor died, the foundation was gone. They ain't had nothing left to stand on. So when the devil came around and started making everybody fuss and fight about who's going to be the next pastor, the church get all tore up. It's a horrible thing to have a personality-driven church. What you want to join is a Bible-based church. And here's how you know if you're in a Bible-based church. Look for these six characteristics that define a Bible-based church. I'm going to say it slow, so if you need to, write this stuff down, okay? Or if you can't write it down because you're driving along in your car and you say, Pastor, I can't drive and write. They don't let you text and write. I can't drive and write. Okay, you got me. I understand. It's on our church website. All you have to do is click on, go to our church website, RFCM, and click on Salvation Prayer, because that's where we have that at. And it simply says, number one, a Bible-based church proclaims the whole counsel of God as revealed in the Old and New Testaments of the Bible. At Running for Christ, we believe the whole Bible is the inspired word of God, not just some of it. I used to, you know, some when I was studying in school, I used to get so mad with theologians and scholars because they would start saying, well, that part of the Bible, you don't have to believe that. They had got that smart. But Timothy, Paul was still over here telling Timothy that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And Peter is telling whoever he can that we should remember that all scripture comes from God. And when people wrote the Bible, they didn't write on their own. They wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, somebody lied. Either Paul lied to Timothy and Peter lying to everybody, or they telling the truth and everybody else is a liar. I'm going to go with the latter. A Bible-based church has a system to lovingly help members to live a lifestyle that reflects the teachings and values of Jesus Christ. At Running for Christ Ministries, we don't start saying sin ain't sin just so we can keep a friend. If sin is sin, it is sin. You get 1 John 1:9, you agree with God, you wrong, he right, let the whole earth be a liar and let God be right, and that's what we do in 1 John 1:9. But we don't start saying, just because you my friend, your sin ain't a sin. A Bible-based church got a system to help members live a lifestyle that reflects the teachings and values of Jesus Christ. Now, number three, a Bible-based church applies scripture to every area of life. Every area of life. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Okay? It looks to provide for all the members of the family. Amen? We don't like some of them and not the other ones, but the whole family. A Bible-based church will encourage the use of and provide opportunities for members to exercise the use of their gift and giftings. You know, the Lord was talking to me about a church. He said, what kind of preacher in a church don't never get to preach, pastor preach every sermon, teach every class? He said, what do the preachers do? I'm like, well, they carry the pastor's Bible or his water or something. I don't know. So a Bible-based church will encourage the use of and provide opportunities for members to exercise the use of their gift or giftings. And y'all know me at Running for Christ Ministries. It don't take but a minute for me to hang around you and figure out you got a gift, and I'm going to try to spy it out. Next thing you know, you're doing something. A Bible-based church is passionate about reaching the lost and teaching the word of God to the saved. I used to trip out every Sunday. They would open the door to the church. But Paul was talking about over in 1 Corinthians 14 when he spoke on tongues. He made this statement. If by chance an unsaved person coming in, all y'all in here speaking in tongues, I'm not talking about the speaking in tongues part. I'm talking about the if by chance an unsaved person came to church. Church is for saved people. That's why we preach the Bible in there. You know, you go out, you go to work and you tell your unsaved friends about Jesus. You go wherever you go and tell your unsaved friends about Jesus. The church is filled up with saved people, like here on Blog Talk Radio. For me to preach the gospel on here, okay, everybody who tune in to hear it saved. Saved people generally listen to radio shows about Jesus. Unsaved people don't generally do that. They waiting on us. They're our friends. They're our family. There are people we work with. There are people we see in the stores and highways and byways, and we compel them to come in. He's a man. But anyway, we believe at Running for Christ Ministries that you preach the gospel to the lost and you teach the word of God to the saved. That's why we got the epistles in the Bible. They are not for the unsaved. They're for the saved. The gospels, Old Testament history, that's for the unsaved. And number six, a Bible-based church supports the weak, helps the needy, and encourages the downhearted. And when you find a church with these Bible-based characteristics, join it. And then you will actually become all that Jesus called you to be. Okay, I did what the Lord wanted me to do, and I am not Crystal, but I just had to do a devotion. I guess you could call it a devotion. Amen. But Crystal going to get well real quick and be back real quick. Whew, okay, preacher, I did what I was supposed to do. Now you can talk and then give us a prayer, and then we can go cut grass or something.
Oh, Lord. I thank you once again for this preaching opportunity. You know, I wrestled with what I was going to preach about. I started thinking about it before Easter, Resurrection Day, and all that week before, and nothing came. And I kept thinking. And finally, I heard something. I read some scripture. I don't even remember what it was. It just prompted me to say, you know, we always talk about Jesus' death, his burial, his resurrection, but seldom we talk about the appearances and what the disciples were feeling and how what he had to do to encourage them to get back in alignment with him. We talk about the day of Pentecost. And they turned the world upside down. And I'm I'm sitting here on Jefferson right now. There are pickup trucks and boat trailers from Southfield down to Wyandotte. And the boat launch is full of trucks and trailers. Detroit River, there's so many little fishing boats out there, people fishing for fish. And it made me think. All these pickups and trailers for these boats remind me of all the churches we have in the metropolitan Detroit area. But are we fishing for me? Or are we fishing for each other? Lord Jesus, over 2,000 years ago, Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. We got work to do and a whole lot because we have fell so far behind. I was looking at something one of the guys posted on Messenger this morning, and he talked about America falling away from God, and we've fallen so far away from God that if we're not careful, the judgment's going to come. And we got to get serious. We got to start witnessing to each other and start witnessing to the lost men and women, boys and girls. And like you said, our family and everything else. Jesus said it is finished. But as I said, it is just beginning for us. Go in peace.
Amen. You know, it was finished for him, and, you know, and you could tell because when he ascended into heaven, it wasn't like he just said to the disciples, okay, I'm getting ready to leave. Now the Father's getting ready to send the Shekinah glory cloud cap and take me back to heaven. And y'all got to get on with it. And sure enough, he lifted up and just left here. And their job from there was to go out and do what he, and boy, they did it. When you read the book of Acts, they did it. By chapter 6, they have grown by thousands, and they have eliminated joblessness, and they have eliminated hunger. There was none poor among them or without among them. Why? Because, like you were saying, the Holy Spirit took control of them. And what they had, they no longer viewed as their own. Their selfish view was gone. And now the inclusive view was all in front of them, and they just took stuff and sold it, and brought the money, put it in the church, And they had set up deacons to dispense the money fairly to after that little debacle in chapter 6, they dispensed it fairly to everybody who had need. And the church today needs to have that testimony that there was no needy among them because of the others of them who allowed the Holy Spirit to have his way in, eliminated that. And when we let the Holy Spirit have his way, I think you were talking this at the beginning, when we let him have his way in us, well, then that's when miracles happen. That's when, I'm all in my sermon now. So anyway, I'm going to stop before I preach tomorrow today.
We thank God that I listened and you can start your sermon where I left off, because Lord knows that wasn't what I was thinking when I was putting it together. Gregory Alexander said on Messenger, America as a nation has gotten away from the word of God and continues to get further and further, begging for the wrath of God to fall upon it. And that's going to happen.
But it is.
We need to be out telling others about the love of God, about God's grace and his mercy, and about salvation through Jesus Christ, and that they need to repent and come to him before the wrath of God falls on this nation.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Preacher. Tell that whole fam I said, hey.
Amen. Bless you all. Don't work too hard because you got to preach tomorrow now.
Yeah, I know. I know. I'm getting ready to go. I got some things I got to look at right now. But anyway, God bless it. Again, thank you. And again, say hi to the fam.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. We thank God for each and everybody who played a part in today's service, and that includes all of you who are listening in today and those who are going to listen in the future. You're still playing a part, and we thank God for you. And now we're going to go ahead and give this benediction, and then I can do what the Holy Spirit is telling me, dump my head into some word, and then maybe come out of it with something tomorrow. Again, thank everybody who I already thanked, Kat, John, Nedra, Alex, amen, and Elder Joseph Stevens for coming through with an on time where I know I said it before, but you don't know how good it does my heart to know that God have, because see, I just texted him yesterday to remind him that he was up today, and sure enough, here he come with a sermon that I thought was going to lead right into mine, but went right up to it and stopped. Amen. So I thank God. That tells me the Holy Spirit put this together, so it's going to be a blessing, and God intended for certain people to hear this service, and they're going to hear it because that is God's intention. Amen. So God bless you. God keep you. Thank you, Runner for Christ, for 19 years. Thank you, Boopy, baby Holy Ghost, for 19 years. Love you. Love you to life and back. Amen. God bless everybody. Have a wonderful, wonderful Saturday. See you later.
Yeah. Got over money. Pistol.
Yeah. We don't believe us. East side, west side, but we all around. For your town, and everywhere that we go, you know we hold it down, down. Just a bunch of sinners out here trying to follow Christ. They love to see us fall, man, hate to see us fly. And we ain't perfect either, we try to get it right. And we ain't only readers, we buy the little life. They play us in the media with stereotypes. But even when they hate us, we love them on sight. They pushing death upon us just for trying to bring them light, light. But it's alright. We don't believe us. We don't believe in calling right, wrong, right, wrong, right, and wrong, right, right. We don't believe us. They say the problem with us in the dark, in the dark.
all right, right. We done believe it. We roll with Jesus cause he gave it all. Gave it all. For our life, life. We done believe it. They know we keep it cool, so they love to play around. They push us to the edge and then they say we wildin' out. Out. Catch us on the wrong day. One of us a clown. And it'd be a long day. It's going down. Now we don't want no problems. We just living our life. It's hard enough without a hater trying to cause strife. I'm tripping on my own. Just trying to walk right. If I put it in a song, we'll be here all night, night. Been here long enough to know it's not a joke, not a joke. I know where I'm headed when it's time to go, time to go. But until then I get it poppin' new, poppin' new. Keeping Yahweh over dollar store. We them believers, we don't believe in calling right, wrong, right, wrong, right, and wrong, right, right. We them believers, they say the problem put us in the dark, in the dark. It's all like, like. We don't believe it. We roll with Jesus cause he gave it all. Gave it all. For our life, life. God over money. God over money. God over money. God over money. Money. God over money. God over money. God over money. For money, we don't believe it. We don't believe in calling right, wrong, right, wrong, right, and wrong, right, right. We don't believe it. They say the problem put us in the dark, in the dark. It's all like, like. We don't believe it. The only way we know to go is hard, go is hard, go is on sight, like. We don't believe.